You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who believes a penny saved isn't jack Pete Chwaba.
It's true. It's nothing. They might discontinue the penny anyway. And that was a great lead-in, Con, because we're talking about swearing.
Exactly.
Tonight.
Yeah, thank you.
Welcome back to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. Act 3 is officially underway. If you missed the first 2 hours, head to civicmedia.us, and you can catch those in podcast form. In hour number one, I talked to Ryan Albers, who is the event chairperson for New Top Dog. Go to newtopdog.com. It's a great event that raises money for pet rescues and kids. You can't beat it. And in the second hour, we made the popcorn pick of the week. My pal Hanna Lopez was here and talked and picked Birdcage.
Yeah.
That's a great one. In fact, we got a text. John Murray in the 608 says, that's the wrong one. He says, great popcorn pick. Gonna rewatch tomorrow during the lockdown. See, in my opinion,
during the lockdown, you guys are so lucky.
You should get a taste of the profits on that because someone's gonna rent Birdcage.
That's gonna be amazing.
And the studio won't go. They'll be
I'll
like,
call Nathan
who's
Lane. Yeah.
Get on that. You're a journalist. You could put the fear of God into them. So that is also available at civicmedia.us. Con, I think it's time we reintroduce our question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
Pregunta. How do you feel about swearing? Do you let your kids swear? I've really mellowed out about this, folks. I have to say, when I was a kid, I did not swear in front of my parents. They were kind of more proper, and they just did not stand for it. And especially since I was the oldest, I couldn't do anything.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
Are you the oldest?
I am.
And there's a great comedian, Mike Dugan, who used to say, I was the youngest of seven. When my brothers were older, they couldn't do anything. By the time I got to high school, it was pretty much no heroin in the living room. And it's true. Like, my younger siblings got away with stuff I never...
I was just talking to my mom about that on the way over here.
Yeah.
My youngest sister, she... We're, like, constantly... My mom didn't let us go out on school nights.
Same.
My parents were, like, Friday, Saturday, maybe Sunday, if you're lucky.
Right.
Whatever. My sister's like, I'm going to Starbucks. My mom's like, okay. Like, it's one of those things. She's like, oh, can I go to the mall? But it's also because she's the only one at home, so my parents are like... She's not going to be here all the time. You know, we feel bad that she's the only one here. And I'm like, guys, what? Like, why are we doing this?
Doesn't sound like you've gotten over it.
No, I'm not. I'm not over it.
I don't even, like, when I was a kid in Chicago, in our hood, basically, my parents would say, I was the oldest, it was be home by dark. Because it was
the
city, you know.
That was my mom.
So if other kids, they were running all over, they were in different neighborhoods, younger than me, I'm like, what is going on in that house? So I would try to get the party back to our yard, but when it didn't work, I just have to go home.
You're like, all right, good night, guys. Yeah.
I'm tired. I'm going to turn in. Yeah.
Well, my sister, so I took the bus and the train. My mom's like, no. My sister, that's the one thing she can't do is bus or train. I love a good public transportation system. I'm one of those people, controversial. I miss the CTA. Like, a lot of people have thoughts on that, but I do. I miss public transportation. I miss, you know, being around people. Even though I have my headphones on, it's just, like, nice being like, oh, they're probably hating their morning, too, that they're cold on this train. But my sister's just, no. My mom's like, no.
I'm totally with you. I'm kind of like an inside guy, and I'm a proud inside guy. I don't hunt or fish. I have fished, but it's not my thing. I don't snowmobile, but I like being around. And we talked about this during the break. I like being around people. I like living in a city.
Yeah.
I feel safer there rather than, like you said, out with the children of the corn or in cold blood.
That scares the daylights out of me. In cold blood.
Yeah.
We'll never get over that. I read that in high school. I think about that constantly. I'm like, there's something wrong with me. Or there's an episode of That's So Raven where there's like a scarecrow that's like haunted. I think about that constantly, and my siblings make fun of me for it. They're like, why do you remember that? That's such like a what?
It's weird. Like you were talking about public transportation, and I remember like in college and when I was an adult and doing stand up and stuff, riding the bus and the L and all that kind of stuff. And when you go back, when you've been gone for a while, like I live in Wisconsin now in a pretty remote area, which is very easy to live in. So when I go back to the city, I think I should pick it up. And I would take my kids there when they were younger. I'm like, well, just jump on the L. Come on, I got to. And then you go there and it's like they've totally changed everything. You're like, oh no.
They were changing the trains before I left. And that was like I shouldn't say the best thing ever because there were like less seats. But then it had like this little like iPad thing being like, Jefferson Park is next, you know, like Fullerton. Right. Or obviously they announce your stops and everything. It would be like Clark and Lake. But it would say it on like this iPad, and I was like, this is awesome. Technology is great here.
You do have to do it often, though, because you get like, I'm in a bubble now. My little world is Marinette and Green Bay. I come here every day, and sometimes I go to Madison for my other gig, and I do the show from there. But it's all about familiarity. Yeah. Like, how long have you been in Northeast Wisconsin now? A year and a half?
Almost a year and a half.
Okay. And do you feel at home here?
Yes and no. In the winter, I'm like, there's no one here. This is not like, I feel like if I yell, I'm like, there's no one here to hear me.
Why would you have to yell, honey?
Exactly. But if I do, I'm going to be like, no one's here. But in the summertime, it definitely, with the amount of people that come in, I'm not saying the people that are there right now.
Yeah.
They're great, but I'm just like, I need more people here.
I love seeing
five cars on the street versus my car on the street. Like that makes me feel great.
All right. That makes sense. So you cover this area. You live in Sturgeon Bay or the Door County area. What's happening up there these days? What do we need to know about?
A lot of ice fishing is going to start happening.
Okay.
Ice fishing. Shout out to them. I mean, I could never do that. Just thinking about that, sitting. Some of these people stay like overnight too. And I'm like,
oh, wow.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Just good for you.
Just not your thing. Just don't invite me.
I was wearing snow pants yesterday. I'm like, we're going back to tomorrow. Like, it's not even because it was cold. It was just like the wind and being outside and filming and stuff. I'm like, this is not for two pairs of pants only. I have to wear like nine.
So I've seen your work. You're very good at what you do. Do you have to, like, tomorrow, will you go out and try to find a story or have one assigned to you even though it's so cold?
It depends. Normally, I pitch things, but there are times where my bosses will be like, okay, we're going to, you know, shift gears, might have you cover this instead, which I'm totally fine with. But I'm just like, tomorrow's one of those days that I'm not sure how that's going to go, especially because it's supposed to be so cold.
Yeah.
We were already getting texts like, if you don't have emergency kits in your car, like put them in tonight. So I'm like, I don't know what tomorrow's going to look like.
Do you do that? Do you put like a blanket in your car or?
I should. Right. I did at one point, but then I took it out because I was just like, I'm just cleaning out the car. Yeah. I had like V8 cans in there, Starbucks cups. I'm like, this is awesome. So then I was just like, I'm just going to clean it out all at once. And I took everything out and I was like, this is so nice having a clean car. But
all right. So you seem like a pretty positive person. So I consider myself that as well. I've lived in two huge metropolitan areas, and I've lived in a small town. And I have enjoyed everywhere I've lived. I truly have found beautiful people everywhere, and I've enjoyed everywhere. It doesn't mean I don't get bored in a small town or overwhelmed in a city sometimes, but what's the best thing about living? Have you found things here to really enjoy?
The people are very responsive to things. Like, I didn't realize how many, like, that sounds bad. But I didn't realize how many people, like, still watch the news. So I'll get, like, Facebook messages or comments, and people are, like, out there being like, this is awesome. Like, thank you so much for focusing on this. And I'm
nice.
And I felt, oh, my gosh, a couple of days ago, we were at Walmart getting some things for dinner, and there was this woman. I'm in my boyfriend's Carhartt jacket, some sweatpants, hair's, you know, crazy. And this woman stops, and she goes, are you Hannah Lopez? And I was like, yeah. And she's like, oh, my God, like, I love you. I watch you every day. Can I get a picture?
Aww.
And so it was like super sweet. And I just like stood there and I was like, they're so like, these people are awesome.
Well, you can't go wrong saying the people are the best thing about an area. But do you do anything winter wise that you can embrace, cross country skiing or anything?
Absolutely not. No. I'm not a winter. This is where my boyfriend and I are different. And that's so beautiful for a couple to be different people. I don't. being born and raised in Chicago, coming up here, winter's never been my forte. I don't like having 100 layers. I feel like the inside of a lunchbox. I look like a Christmas story. He loves the snow. He loves the cold. If he could, he'd have our balcony door open like every day. And I'm like, you're a little insane, but, you know, whatever. When it was cold last year, we had the window open when we were sleeping. We'd wake up. It'd be like 60 degrees in our apartment. I'm like, what is your deal? He's like, it's so beautiful outside. I can't. I would rather be like in the heat or an area where there are seasons, but they're not that crazy. But
well, you said you were in Key West recently. Yes. That must have been. And Connor and his parents lived there, you know.
Good for them.
Maybe you could do a timeshare together.
Timeshare. Key West is like, I said this a couple days ago. I was like, Key West is just, this might just be a me thing, but I feel like Key West is the Door County of Florida.
Oh,
there are like 30,000 people that live there total. Door County is 30,000. Yeah.
Wow, really?
That's what I said. I was like, there are only 30,000 people in Key West?
Oh, no kidding.
We went kayaking, and I was like, this is awesome. And then I found a jellyfish. I thought it was like a seashell, and my boyfriend's like, put that down. Because it was on my little thing. He was like, it was on the thing. Like the little paddle or oar or whatever it's called. He's like, that's moving. That is breathing. And so I put it down, and I was like, later that night, I got like TikToks of like the groves and marshes out there, and it was like, there's potentially an alligator. And I was like, that's just awesome, guys. I was over there earlier.
So you're not a total inside person. That was.
I like doing outside stuff when it's not like 45 below or like, you know, the wind so cold I can't feel my eyelashes. That's just.
All right. So you liked Key West a lot, and you called it the Door County of Florida. Love that. What is your favorite thing about Door County?
Probably, I don't know. I really do like the nature up there. Before it started getting cold, like, we went to Cave Point, and it was amazing to just, like, go hiking, go explore that. I want to go more up north. I know, like, we're in Sturgeon Bay, there's Pottawatomie, and I've been there many times. We went hiking there in November. Like, it's beautiful. I'd love to do more of that. I think the nature, like, I know that's, like, a very big thing. People are like, the nature is beautiful. Yeah. That's kind of where it's at.
You sound like me when I was your age. I just didn't care about nature. Now I appreciate it, and I look for ways I can appreciate it. I just am not an outside guy. I've tried.
Well, during the pandemic, or even before that, like when we started going into COVID, I was a huge fan of outside tanning, sitting in the sun. That was my favorite thing to do, and I learned to like appreciate that more, like fresh sunlight, putting myself outside with a book, eating ice cream, coloring, something that got me like outside, not being in the house. And I kind of like adapted that into my daily routine of like, okay, like shades go open as soon as I wake up. Is it the best thing that, you know, my boyfriend is not working that day? And he's like, great, thank you so much. Like, I just like doing that. I like.
Listen, I'm first of all, I'm envious. Am I supposed to start dancing now, Con? Was it you're trying to get us to start a dance party over? Are you opposed to a dance off?
I can't really. I'm wearing too many pairs of socks for that.
I envy anyone who can get a tan. I can't go outside. I do work on my pinkness. I'll get like a more of a pinkish hue.
That's my mom. Envious. She like doesn't tan. I tan pretty well. All my siblings, we all tan pretty well. So that was just. That's my favorite thing.
You
to
are
do.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming in
of
tonight.
Of course.
Hannah.
Thank you Great for inviting
pick,
me back.
The Birdcage. Always fellow Blue Demon, Hannah Lopez. Check out her work at NBC 26 here in Green Bay. She does outstanding work. We are coming back to read more of your texts about swearing. And then Molly Aitken is here at 7:35. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
All right, welcome back, folks. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. We have, after the news, sports, and weather, we've got pre-recorded content with Irish author Molly Aitken. She will be here. We talked to her earlier. She is wonderful, and she's a very good guest, and she talks about her books and all the stuff she has going on. She'll be joining us over the stream, pre-recorded from the UK. Molly ended up being just a great guest, so stick around for that. That's at 7:35, and we will close the show with Molly. Right now, we have some time to read some more texts, and you can leave that open, Con. I can barely see as it is. Look at Conrad turning the lights on. I got to read texts. Here we go. Our question of the night was about swearing, and I was very curious as to how people respond to it, because I swear. I try to read the room for what it's worth, but I also don't freak out about it. I grew up one way, and then I became a stand-up comedian. Most of my friends swear, some of them on stage, some of them off stage. But, you know, Conrad, what's your swearing capacity these days as a young adult?
I'd say it's in every other word when I'm not on
every other word. Okay, that's impressive.
No, actually, I'd say just when I'm with my friends, probably.
Yeah.
It's like I don't even realize I'm saying it sometimes.
Yeah, that's kind of how I am, I guess. Sometimes it just kind of comes out like that. But we've had a lot of fun tonight. I would like to thank my guests. We've had a lot of fun with Ryan Albers, who is part of the new Top Dog contest that's happening in Northeast Wisconsin here. Then Hannah Lopez from NBC 26 made the popcorn pick of the week. It was The Birdcage, a really solid movie that I have not seen in years. I'll have to give it a rewatch, but Hannah's a lot of fun. She and I are from the same hood in Chicago, too, both making our home now in Northeast Wisconsin. So it was fun to reconnect with Hannah. Check out her work on NBC 26. And then we've got some more texts here to get to. This is great. John Murray in the 608 says, I hope y'all are going to hunker down tomorrow. Try to imagine standing on the side of the road in 50 below wind chill after a neighbor bends your fender. What? He says, yikes, not going to risk it. Oh, that's a hypothetical, I think. What in life is scarier than being stuck outside when it's 50 below? Being stuck outside naked? How would that ever happen, though?
Being stuck outside in 50 degree weather with a bear right in front of you.
A bear right in front of you, correct. A naked bear.
A naked
bear. Yeah.
So no fur.
John says, Pete, do you find that your kids use the cuss words less than you and pick the best moments, or is it all over the place? It is not all over the place. That would bother me. Like, if they just swore nonstop, willy-nilly, there's no need for that.
Well,
but if they're mad and they drop one of the bombs, I'm okay with that.
Well, you know, when Joe, you know, sometimes calls, you know, for the movie picks.
Yeah. I mean,
he's just swearing like a sailor.
Does
when he's
he really?
Not, yeah.
Oh,
when he's talking to me, I don't even think he likes me because he just keeps swearing at me.
I think it's, he just, what he needs is I think they call it a whipping. These youngsters, they need a good whipping. So there you go. That's those are our texts. John says, he says, my daughter is like a sniper and only swears when it counts and makes sense. That's impressive. Because they say swearing can be a sign of, you know, intelligence.
I mean, it takes a skill to know when to say it.
You know? To know when to say it right. And my wife is a good swearer. And she picks her spots. She was never like one of those that would just go crazy. And I think, I like what John said there, that she picks the right moments, because then you can appreciate a good swear word. John also says, I'm sloppy at times. Yeah, I get that.
We got some social media texts, too.
Oh, my God. I forgot all about the social media texts. J.B. Thompson, the guy behind the guy.
Behind the guy.
Behind the guy. Although there are zones where it isn't allowed, I still prefer creative alternatives, as they just sound more hilarious in conversation. You think he's thinking like, oh, fiddlesticks or something like that.
That's a good one.
See, I can't, that doesn't get it done for me. Some of those imitation swear words. But he's right. They are hilarious based on the conversation. Our pal from Chicken or the Egg Photography, great place. Check it out, folks. He says, took me till my late 30s to say it on a regular basis in front of my parents. He means swearing. There was one time in my 20s I did when I was in the hospital ER and they screwed up the IV and had to redo it. And we all know how horrible that skin tape is. Pretty much rips any skin you have off. So I told my mother, cover your ears. And as they were ripping and putting a needle in the other arm, he dropped the MF-er. Oh, the granddaddy. That's the one I don't like.
The granddaddy of them all.
But he says, ha ha. It's not actually the granddaddy of them all. But it's the one I just don't like it. But thank you, Chris, for the text. Eric Rathsack from Ask Your Mother, outstanding band here in Green Bay, says, depends how old they are. When they're really little and use it in the right context, I can never not laugh at it. That's a great.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. It's so
totally
funny.
Totally agree. Great one. Amanda Nimmer from WGBW fame says, mine are allowed to at home, nowhere else, and only as an adjective. We'll call them out if they're being mean with it. Now, that's interesting, and I kind of agree with everything she said, but aren't her kids like two?
Yeah, I don't.
She's got that little guy that won the walrus that won the costume contest. He was like 6 years old.
It was a bleeping good walrus.
Jody on social media says, not at home, most definitely not in public. With their friends, however, their choice. Now, Jody's a good mom. Tim Baker on social media says, there is a time and a place. That's kind of how I am, Tim. Thank you. Richard Vargas on social media says, not a fan, but times they are a-changing. The F word has lost its impact. That's interesting. Kind of agree. Austin Galante says, F, yeah. Yeah, I still haven't seen his movie. He was on, he came into the studio in Madison when I was down there last summer. I want to check out his vampire movie. Bill Mode says, sent a meme that says, bend over and I'll show you.
That's the Clark Griswold.
Fletch? That's
Christmas Vacation. My mom added too, this wasn't printed, she says, I really don't like it when the boys say the F word. So,
oh, I did see that. I'm glad you read that.
When we're golfing, sometimes I'll say it around her.
Oh, that's a big swear.
Then I regret it.
It's a big time to swear. Folks, we are out of here for now. Pre-recorded content coming up. Check it out. It's great. Molly is a great interview. Tomorrow night, we will have the lead singer of Toto, Joseph Williams, critic Rob Thomas, and Terry Barr and Barbin. Friday night. Good night, Wisconsin. Every time I'm with you, baby, can't believe it's true. When you lay welcome back. I'm Pete Schwabe. This is Nightlight. It is great to have you here on this frigid evening, folks. Stay warm out there. Tomorrow, the high, at least in northeast Wisconsin, is going to be like negative 10. I don't even think I've ever experienced cold like this in my life. So bundle up, and I know it's going to be not much better around the state. So let's warm up this show right now, if we could, and talk about something that can help us escape and take us away. And that, of course, is great books and literature. And joining me now, it is my pleasure to welcome to Nightlight for the first time. She is the winner of the Alice Hoffman Prize for Fiction in 2023. And she joins us all the way from Ireland, author Molly Aitken. Hi, Molly.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
Please tell me it's warmer there than it is here.
Way warmer. Yeah.
Okay. I've never
been as cold as you. I don't think in my whole life.
I literally have a space heater right at my hip, and we'll get through this though. And you don't equate Ireland with being a tropical place, but I'm sure it's much warmer where you are than where. Where are you, by the way?
I'm actually not in Ireland. I don't live in Ireland anymore. I grew up in West Cork, which I know your family is from, or part of your family.
Yeah.
But I live in the UK now. I live in England.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's really interesting. And we did talk about that off the air a little bit. I have roots in Cork, and here's what I find interesting. Like, you look Irish. I asked you if I looked Irish, and you said, yeah, kind of. My mom is black Irish. She like gets tan. And you mentioned that most people think of Irish as gingers, but there are a lot of Irish people that get tan. I am not one of them, and it really makes me mad, to be honest with you.
I am so mad about it as well. I just turn into a lobster. It's very depressing.
Well, the good thing is you're a writer, and you probably spend a lot of time indoors in front of your computer, which I find just so great and romantic and outstanding. And I also have to say, before we get into some of your works, you said in your email, you were glad we told you it was live radio so you could stop yourself from cursing. Is that a chore for you? Or?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, in Ireland, we swear in every other sentence. So I'm holding myself back. Although I have to say, living in England, I've had to train myself not to curse so much anymore.
A little more proper over there, huh?
Yeah, they're more proper than us for sure.
Our question of the day is, how do you feel about your, like, do you let your kids swear? How do you feel about swearing? And I kind of, I'm the same way. Like, I was brought up in a house where we didn't really swear, but I do. I was a stand-up comic, and my kids, I didn't really want them swearing in the house, but my wife kind of let that cat out of the bag, and now my kids swear freely, and I have to accept it. So there you go. Were you able to swear when you were a kid?
No, absolutely not. Okay. But my parents did all the time, and I have a son, and my stance is that he can swear, but I do say, like, don't do this at school.
That's good. That's good advice.
I don't know if that's worked, though, to be honest.
You'll hear about it, I'm sure, if it doesn't.
Yeah, I'll be getting a letter.
Okay, so you've got these two books that are very well received. You write historical fiction. Tell us, for those of us who still read, and I struggle, I was an English major. I still want to read. I need some motivation, though. What can you tell me about Bright I Burn, your book that was released just about a year ago?
Yeah, so this is about the first woman ever accused of witchcraft in Ireland in 1324. And she was one of the first women who was ever accused of witchcraft formally. And her case was quite different to any other. And I'd heard about her as a kid growing up in school, and she was, like, presented as the type of woman us good Catholic girls should never become. And I was kind of afraid of her. But then as I grew up, I kind of started to think about her in a different way. I had a really weird experience as well. Like, I was telling my mom that I was thinking about writing about her, but I was afraid to do it because she's also famous for having killed her four husbands. And I was like, I don't know if I want to go there.
Yeah. She got a fourth husband. She killed the first three and found some sucker.
I know.
Whoa, that's crazy.
Well, part of what's really incredible about her is she was also a banker and, like, incredibly independently wealthy. So that's why they kept coming. They just loved the money. But yeah, I said to my mom, I was like, I think I'm going to write about her. My mom was like, you should sit down and talk to her. And I had this sensation. I like did everything that you're supposed to do when you're, like, welcoming a ghost. I, like, lit a candle, I closed my eyes, I invited her into the room, and I felt this presence leaning over my shoulder, and I heard her whispering, "Are you afraid of me?" And I was like, "Yes,
wow,
yes, I am." And then I had this sensation of her, like, walking to stand in front of me, and as she did, she turned into a child, and she said, "I'm afraid of myself too." And that was the moment where I was like, I think I can write about you.
Oh my gosh.
It was a very strange experience.
So when was that, Molly?
That was during the pandemic, which it was like a lockdown in the UK. So everyone was a bit crazy, including myself. So I think that might be part of the explanation. But I just went with it. And in a way, I feel like she wrote the book. She had this, like, she's known in Ireland for being, like, a very negative, aggressive character. And she's really seen through the eyes of the church still within history. And the church did not like her. And I felt like she had this rage that she wanted to tell her story in her way.
Where do you go with that? After that experience where you were probably like, did I just see that or did I not? So you've got this great experience, a launch point. How do you create a book around that?
Yes, that's such a good question. So first off, I wrote it all by hand, which I don't think people do very often now. But that just felt right to me, given that she lived in the medieval period in Ireland. In a sense, I just felt that would connect me to her more. And possibly, like, this might be something that you're familiar with, because I know that you've written for screen, like, that internal critic. I wanted to switch off my internal critic and just write and see what happened. So that's what I did. And I had, like, a weird ritual as well. I would, like, light a candle, invite her into the room. And then when I was done, I would, like, shoo her out the door, because even though, like, she wasn't literally there, but I felt like I needed something to not kind of carry the weight of her around with me. And also, I was newly married, writing about this woman who supposedly kills her four husbands. So I was like, I don't think I need this energy all the time. Like, I'll just have it while I'm writing. And in a way, I felt like it wasn't wholly me who wrote it. It was her. And I'm a bit weird in that way. Like, I do feel that about a lot of the characters that I write about. I write in the first person pretty often. And so I kind of give it over to the character to tell their story. I don't know if that's just like an easier way to do it, so that it doesn't feel like so much pressure on myself. I'm like, they're handling it. They know what the story is. They'll do it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is really interesting. I'm always fascinated by how authors work and their process. And what, like, for you, do you like a book like that? Did you write that quickly? Did you sit down and pull like a Jack Kerouac and not leave your typewriter, keyboard, whatever, for like 3 days? Or did it take a year? How long does it typically take you?
It's so different depending on the book. This one was like weirdly specific as well, because I wrote it in the first year of my son's life.
Okay.
So I was writing it like when he was napping, and that meant that like every chapter was really short. He didn't nap for long. But now readers have said to me that like the pace of it is really fast, because it's just these like really, really short chapters. So I think it's different for every book. That book, so that first big write-up of it took 1 year. But then I had to rewrite a lot of it, because I was like slightly sleep deprived.
Yeah. Maybe that helped though on some level, right?
Yeah,
like it kind of opened your brain a little bit, or stream of consciousness. I don't know.
Yeah. And I think I was just like, I was about to swear there. I cared less. I cared less, because I just didn't have time to care. So I just like wrote whatever, and some of it was good and some of it wasn't, but it didn't really matter. That's
great. You can swear, by the way, because this is pre-recorded. So it just gives Conrad a little extra work. But if you got to let one fly, go for it. I've been there.
Thank you.
So are you a fan of, you write historical fiction. Who are your influences? Mm-hmm. Are you a fan of like Leon Uris?
I have no idea. I think the people, like the authors that we read, are probably very different, because there's a lot of US authors who aren't published here and vice versa.
Okay.
The big ones for me are probably Hilary Mantel.
Okay.
Who you might have heard of, I'm not sure. She wrote Wolf Hall, and won the Booker Prize twice, which is unusual.
Oh, wow.
Another author I love, who's getting a lot of attention right now, actually, is Maggie O'Farrell, who wrote Hamnet.
Oh, yeah, right, sure.
Right?
Wow.
Yeah.
Would you love to see your books, like you've seen them performed or things you've written? What is that like? And would you ever like to see one of your books adapted into a screenplay for the big screen?
Oh, I think that's everyone's dream. I mean, if it's done well.
Right, right.
Because I do have author friends that it has not been done well for. I would adore that. I do know that right now it's not happening that much for historical, because it's so expensive to make a historical piece.
Okay.
Although maybe Hamnet will change that.
Yeah.
Who knows? But I would adore that. Saoirse Ronan, Jesse Buckley, call me. I'm available.
Well, I know they're big listeners. They're probably tuning in right now. Yeah. So you also write strong female characters. That's kind of what you're known for. Who are they based on?
Well, I think it comes from myself, honestly. With Alice, who is the main character in Bright Eye Byron, the first so-called witch in Ireland, the book was really fueled by rage. And like this huge anger. And I've always been someone who like would say that I'm not an angry person. I would say that, oh, I don't get angry. And I think that had just like built up inside me for so long that I like needed to release it. Huh. And actually I think like getting emotions out on a page, especially maybe an emotion like anger, is quite like, is a constructive use of it.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
We have to do a very short break. My guest is Molly Aitken. She is the author behind such great books as Bright Eye Burn and The Island Child. We'll have a few more minutes with Molly when we return. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Great to have you with me on this Thursday night. It is the Christmas Eve of weeknights, folks. Let's go. Let's effing go. I would say the full F word, like my guest Molly, who swears like a sailor and has had to control herself because she's on live radio tonight. I really appreciate that. She is the author of such books as Bright Eye Burn from 2024 and The Island Child from 2020, an award-winning author who was based in Ireland and is joining us tonight from the UK, Molly Aitken. It is so great to have you here. How do you think it's going so far? Are you having fun?
I'm having so much fun. Okay. Thank you so much.
This is nice to be around a person who is truly Irish. I've been faking it my whole life as a half Irishman, but
well, I have a confession. I'm half Scottish.
Oh dear, that's trouble.
I know.
And you're in and now you're in London, right? Or in England?
I know. Oh. They've all disowned me.
You can't make everybody happy, right?
No.
Can you tell me about that moment, Molly, when you decided, I'm going to do this. I can do this. I know I can be a writer. What if there was a moment like that? What was the moment and when was it?
Okay. I have two answers for you. When I was about 9, I wrote a novel in air quotes for a family member as a Christmas present. And it was about an orphan who finds out that Santa's her dad, obviously.
Oh, fun.
And that relative then gave me back that book in like bound as a real book. She got it printed by like this like beautiful printmaker and it was a proper book. And that was the moment where I was like, oh my God, like something that I write can be turned into a real book.
Yeah.
And I still have it and it's so bad.
Come on, really?
It's cute. It's very cute. But yeah, we all have to start somewhere. but then I suppose as a teenager, I didn't write as much, or in my early 20s, I was having too much fun, I suppose. And then when I was like 24, I was like, I think I should start taking this seriously. And I did that thing, which I think a lot of writers do, and it's somewhat boring in a way, but I was like, if I want to do this, I have to commit and pay for it. And so I did an MFA in creative writing. And that was,
wow,
that opened the doors really. I needed that like structure and people telling me to write things every week in order to actually do it.
It does help, doesn't it, to be around other writers. You just get a motivation or you get like infused with creativity, I find. And that always motivates me to wanna sit down and write. Is it like that for you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, now I have like a few trusted other writers who I will share with. And it's very motivating because I like try and get things really good.
Yeah.
Because they're also like such great writers that I'm like too embarrassed to share something bad with them. So it is very motivating.
That's so great. So you said you did something recently called Soho. Where is that? I had that right in front of me. Soho Radio. Soho Radio, but that's not out yet. Can you tell us when we can see that or where we can, and tell us what it is? Is it a podcast or a performance?
I didn't know what this was, but they invited me on. It's a radio. It's a very cool, hip radio show down in London.
Kind of like this one?
Yeah, absolutely. And like when I came in, I was like, I'm not supposed to be in this building. It's full of like very young, cool people. it was two artists, like painters, and myself and another writer just talking about our processes and also like how art is similar to writing, but then also how it's different. It was fascinating. The artists are so fascinating. And the way they work is really interesting. I was quite jealous because they can just like spend a day and then they're done. They've finished a thing.
It's so different for someone like you. So what is your process? Do you sit down every day for a certain amount of time? Do you write when you're inspired or in a certain area that you like to write physically? What's your process like?
I don't do it every day. And I almost feel guilty saying that because I think lots of people think that you should, but it just doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
Is not good when I write every day. But I will have like times where it's extremely intense.
Yeah.
Like say 3 months where I'm writing almost constantly.
Nice.
And then I'll take a break and do other jobs. In terms of like where I write, basically anywhere. Yeah. There's like a cemetery. I don't know if you have this in the US, but across Europe, there's like old graveyards that are like super old and beautiful and full of trees and like foxes and things. Mm. And maybe it suits me because I write historical fiction and I was just telling you that like a ghost helped me write.
Hey, book. Whatever works, you know.
Yeah.
And we have graveyards here in America. They're just not as old, right?
Yeah, probably not. So I go to this Victorian graveyard and I write there. And just like in my notebook. But in the past, like I used to live in the city of Manchester in the UK and I worked in advertising and I would like commute every day on this like tram and I would just write on my phone and like squash between businessmen.
And they have no idea that you're churning out your next novel. That is so great. Molly, thank you so much for your time tonight. It's been great getting to know you. You'll have to come back when you have this other thing that's really cool that you can't talk about, you told me earlier. So when you find out something about that, come back and please tell us all about it. And it was just great getting to know you.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. All right, that's Molly Aitken, author. Check out her stuff. Just Google her, folks. That's what I did, and all of her works come up, and she's outstanding on social media, so give her a follow. I'd like to thank my other guest, Hanna Lopez, who made the popcorn pick of the week, Ryan Albers. Thank you for all your texts and calls. On behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, I'm Pete Schwabba saying goodnight, Wisconsin, and stay warm.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.